Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room, which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted.
Okay, we are on Blog Talk. This is Sherry Veronica. I am streaming on other networks, but we just got onto Blog Talk Radio, and I'm pulling into this particular stream, Charlie Spice. Welcome into the studio, Charlie.
Yes, thanks for having me again. I've become a regular.
We missed out on yesterday. I don't know. But anyhow, we missed out on yesterday, and we have you today. We wanted to talk about, I was on the air for half an hour before you got on because I wanted to talk about some subjects that I didn't want to bring you into because I know that they're kind of political and, you know. But for this particular half an hour, we wanted to talk about a subject that was brought up in the blog about all women being afraid of men. All of us are in some way afraid of men. And I don't know if from the business that you're in, if you can enlighten us or shed some light on that particular aspect of civility of our lives. What do you think about that blogger's comment about all women being afraid of men? And I happen to believe it's true. I happen to believe that men can be bullies, men can be intimidated, and men, sometimes a woman has to make a decision that may not even be good for her, but you have to make that decision based on the stance of the man that you're with, you know. You could find yourself in a very, very bad situation because you realize, you know what, it's either this or I can get hurt in standing within this particular relationship setup. So, Charlie?
From a point of view of physical violence, most women tend to be afraid of men. But I've found that women have become a lot more confident within relationships and a lot more independent psychologically, emotionally. And I don't see that degree of fear so much anymore. I suppose if it comes down to a physical situation, a violent situation, you would find that more women than not are afraid of men. But generally, women have become fiercely independent, and I don't see much of it, particularly in my industry. Men are more afraid of the women in my industry because from a conversational and a social perspective, men are not as confident in my industry as the women are. As a matter of fact, they come to women in my industry because of the confidence that they have and they exude, whereas they're powerful in the businesses, but socially they're not. So women tend to take advantage in my industry. So we're perhaps not the best example of a discussion where women are afraid of men, because the industry, predominantly women are the dominant force within the industry.
I can't give an opinion because I dare not disagree with you because that's your expertise. But I can give my opinion. A lot of women who are abused, you know that when you, I don't know if you've ever lifted weights or if you've ever ran marathons or if you've ever done anything strenuous, but when you do something strenuous, you build up extra skin. You build up that extra whatever you need. It's built up there. I have run marathons, and my toes are the strongest toes. You kind of build up muscle and strength in certain areas that you would be surprised that you could actually do. And within your industry, women have been abused, or if they're not abused, they see that making money can be had easily within one night, as opposed to going and sitting at someone's desk and answering the phone, answering phones for 2 weeks. They can do it in one night. So, so the women's frame of mind is kind of sort of different. But when we talk about fear, we're talking about fear. For instance, let's say, for instance, you had a 13-year-old daughter and you tried to initiate her into society, and she goes to the little corner store, and you have a friend, and you say, you know what, just let her know, you know, give her a little job for the summer. And she's in there and she's doing her thing. And when she's cashing and a man comes and he's glaring at her breast, or he's looking at her asking, well, how old are you? And when are you going to be this age? And, you know, women build up that kind of thing from young when they're dealing. We're not talking about your father being a pedophile. Let's hope that you're you're born in a family that your father is not going to touch you like that. But when that child is put out there into the world, because you have to have that world experience. You just cannot have an experience of school. You have to have some sort of world experience. And when you have men, strange men, glaring at you a certain way, or asking you inappropriate questions, or even as a young woman going to a job and a man walks so closely to you that you can feel he's touching the side of your breast with his arm. He's pretending that it's not so. He's pretending that he's just walking, going by. But you know, the woman knows what.
Right.
Yeah, the woman knows that he just copped a feel. He just walked and brushed her. They know. And there's some men that when they talk to you, they touch you, they put their hand on your shoulder to show a superior position. It's almost like they're positioning themselves to say, I am the superior. And even men do it to other men. They will touch you on the shoulder. And I don't like, there's certain things that I don't like. Me, personally, I do not like being touched like that, you know, because, you know, people are
certain. Individual experiences of the lady, the young lady, would determine the degree of fear that she has for men. And when you talk about women who were sexually abused as a child, yes, there's that fear that exists maybe for the rest of your life. Also, to going back to my industry, while you were speaking, I thought of something that I omitted. Women who are trafficked, or women who are physically abused by a pimp or someone that is in control, yes, that fear at that level, the constant fear, even when they go with clients, because they're physically abused by their pimps, and perhaps previously from when they were a kid. Yes, when they were kids, they have that fear constantly, absolutely. And in this industry, they go into very compromising, vulnerable positions alone with a client, and that client could be a psychopath. That client could be a pedophile. That client could be someone that sexually abuses women. So, yes, there's that constant fear, particularly because of the experiences that they've had. But at a much higher level, where clients have the fear of losing their credibility, losing their reputation within the business community, they are less likely to create a problem. And that is where women take control of the fear. If they got fear,
you're breaking up. You're coming in and out. Are you moving around?
No, I'm not actually. I'm right next to my modem, so I don't understand why we should have that. Anyway, let's hope it gets better.
So you're saying that for the better part of a relationship, maybe it's better to become involved with someone who has a license attached to their name, because if you beat the woman and she complains, you could probably lose your license. Is that what you're not in Barbados? Because I don't.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when it's a situation, the man in my industry, when the man has a very successful business, and maybe he's a politician, or perhaps he's a very prominent person in the community, that individual is less likely to cause a problem because he's very afraid of the credibility loss. And women don't have the same level of fear for that person. However, at the lower level, where you're the victim of trafficking, or you're under some very dangerous pimp who beats the hell out of you, then you're in constant fear, obviously.
Okay, but you're still describing the fear, because let's say that you're in a relationship with a man. Let's talk. Okay, I'll talk about the United States, for example, where a license, let's say an attorney, if you complain to the bar, that particular person is in jeopardy. I know it doesn't happen in Barbados. You can thief people's money in Barbados as an attorney. You can do whatever you like in Barbados, and your license is not in jeopardy in Barbados. We're talking about first world countries where your license becomes in jeopardy because of certain complaints. And you, even if a woman is dating a man based on that, there's a fear. She's saying, you know what, I don't want the rugrats, because if he beat me up, I'm not going to have no recompense. I can't go anywhere with that. So what I'm going to do is I'm only going to date professional men, because he does not want his license to be suspended. He doesn't want that light on him. So he's going to treat me good, or even if it doesn't work out, he's going to be gentle and he's going to be civil with me, because he has to protect his license. And if women are looking at it from that point of view, it's a fear factor.
Yes, I suppose. You know, I mean, over the years, men have been known to be the dominant force in relationships and situations, and it has always been that degree of fear. I mean, I think that was, I mean, that's been, the women have been in, that's their culture that way. But I've seen less of that over the years. Women have become seriously independent, Veronica. I don't see that fear like I saw back in the 60s and the 50s and the 30s. I don't see it anymore.
Yeah, because they know that if the man beats them, they own the house that they're in, or they can afford an apartment. Or in the United States, there are so many inexpensive housing for women and children who are abused. There are safety nets for women like that here in the United States. And one thing, you're going to eat. If you come back to the States and you meet someone that tells you they're hungry, believe you me, they're lying. They are lying. They may need money for drugs, or they may need some money for something else, but they're not hungry. They're not hungry. There are plenty pantries. There are plenty places you can go to eat for free in America. So when you said that women, it has changed, yes, maybe because the laws have changed and they're putting more emphasis on domestic violence to protect the woman, because she's the birther. She's the one who's bringing in the children. So they do want to protect the woman. But have things really changed? Really? Because if a man rises up against a woman, she's the one who usually ends up dead. Unless she can outrun him. Yeah, some women can run really fast. And if you can outrun that big belly man, yes, you can get away from him. But if a man takes a hold of you, the chances are it's a woman who's going to be harmed, like I said, unless she can outrun him or outgun him, you know, because
yes,
it is something that we are allowed to have. If you can reach for that gun and shoot him, yeah, you can escape. But the fear is still there. The fear, the fact that you have to pull a gun or utilize your legs to run from a situation, it's a fear. The men are dominant in a way, and that dominance shows through in the way they behave, like the, you know, infidelity, or if they're the head of the household, they expect certain things of the woman. There are some men that they even expect that when they get home that the beds are made and this is done, and that they have a whole slew of things that they want a certain way just because they decided to marry a woman. They think that he has done, many men would think that they have done many women favors by marrying them, when in truth and in fact, marriage is more beneficial to the man than it has been ever to the woman.
Well, you know, based on everything you said, I have to concur with you that women generally have this fear of men. And for the obvious reason, physically and genetically, they're stronger, predominantly so, and that, of course, brings about the fear more so in the women for the man than the other way around. So, yes, I have to agree with you.
Yeah, like I said, when in your particular business, women are intelligent. I find that for a woman to do what they're doing in your business, it's intelligence. no matter what they're called, you could call them whores, service providers, whatever you want. But when a woman becomes, when a woman comes to the point where she knows that a man is just no good, and she has, she is in control of her body and how she wants, what she wants to get from that man at the end of that encounter, I consider that intelligence. And I also consider, women who actually go into professions that they can support themselves well. They can actually support themselves very well, have that house, have that vehicle, take that vacation, and she doesn't worry about a man. I consider women like that very intelligent.
They are intelligent, and you made me think of something as well. The women in my industry, in the adult industry, are not only, they do not only fear the clients, they also fear the operators. For example, the pimp and the manager, the agent. They have networks out there where the girls rely on their own resources. They would actually, before they go to work with someone, with a club or with an agency or with an individual, they will actually do their due diligence. And they have organizations like Escort Watch and other crime prevention organizations, and in partnership with police departments as well around the world, where you can actually research an individual before you work with him. You have got Client Watch, where you can call a certain network and find out if anyone has had any bad experiences with a particular client, so that you can be, you know, forewarned about an individual. So there are lots of mechanisms in place to cater to the fear that women have of clients or of operators in the industry.
Exactly. But I find that when a woman can actually operate within that context that you're talking about, she has built up that extra, like what I talked, that extra skin, and she has built up that extra muscle, and she understands the game. She understands it's like men think it's their world. Men think it's a man's world. They even made a song out of it. It's a man's world, but it wouldn't be much fun if there weren't any young girls and women. So you know. So if you can find,
I have to state that in my experience, the women really have got the advantage. Men might brag and say, well, you know, I'm the tougher individual in the situation. But no, women conquer. In my industry, my experience is that the women are in full control.
But if you're saying that the woman is more intelligent in that particular instance, that means that they're dealing with a lesser species. Like, for instance, it's like you going into the jungle and thinking that you are the intelligent one because you have your gun and you have your sword and you have a couple soldiers with you to make sure that a tiger doesn't come out to eat you, but you collect whatever specimen you went to collect from that jungle and you domesticate it. And you're saying that women are more intelligent and blah, 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 but whatever, the thing about it is that that species that you domesticated is always going to be stronger than you. If you caught a lion, if you caught a tiger, and you took it to a zoo or whatever, you always have to watch to make sure that growl that comes from that particular animal, it's not a growl that means I'm fed up.
Yes.
You have to always watch that the claws that are coming out from the paws of that particular animal are not meant to grab you around the neck. So whenever you think that you are big and bad or that you are in control, that means that you think that whatever you are surrounding yourself with is a sub of you, is lesser than you, that you are smarter than the person that you are associating with, that you are dealing with. And when you are thinking that, you are thinking wrong, because if the thing that you are dealing with is mightier in strength, and if they are lower intelligent, that means they are not going to think like you. You can reason, but that thing that you are dealing with doesn't have those reasoning capabilities. So whenever you think that the woman is superior, but yet she's dealing in a business where the men will suck on anything, put their thing in anything or whatever, she has to always watch for that brute strength.
Yes,
you always have to watch
why
for that.
I say that women are in control of the situation. Very often, a client in my industry may see one girl a week or one girl a month, whereas a girl would see 10 clients in one day. So she's got a lot more experience protecting herself and honing her skills of self-preservation and self-protection. And the client cannot compare with her survival skills in that situation.
So if you're honing all these survival skills, you're not at ease. You're not at ease in the situation. It's unevenly yoked. It's not as though, okay, that's another downfall that I find I personally have is I try to relax. If I'm in a personal relationship, intimate relationship, I always try to relax and, you know, you try to please the person you're with. And I find that any time that you're in a situation where you cannot relax, if you cannot relax, something is wrong. Something is off. And if you have to hone skills and like listen to everything someone says and try to contour them, I try to figure out what is that a lie. Let me be by myself if I do not feel equal to you. If I'm not feeling as though I can relax, I don't want to be a part of anything.
Yes, but you are not a prostitute. You are in a personal relationship, whereas a prostitute or an escort, that's her work. That's her job. That's nothing personal for her.
And maybe that's why I'm unemployable also. Maybe that's why I've always looked for things that I can do on my own, because if I have to watch someone stabbing me in my back, like another employee or another, you know, contractor or whatever,
yeah.
I don't like to compete like that. I'm not a capitalist. I know people have said, oh, I don't need to rip anyone off or steal from people to make my bank account look fat and to make myself look better or feel better about myself. I don't need to be that. I just need to eat and have a nice home, and I'm good.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's, like I said, it has made me unemployable. I am unemployable at this stage, and it's because I don't want to build up that particular muscle strength to watch people stab me in my back and who's going to not like my work. Can you imagine me giving a report to someone and they critiquing it and telling me how good I am or how good I'm not? That cannot happen to me. It cannot happen to me.
Yeah, it's funny you said you're not employable.
Surely it cannot happen. You cannot sit down and say, oh, I'm going to work. You know how some people get evaluated at the end of the year or at the end of 6 months or maybe after 3 months probation, you're evaluated and they tell you how good you are or how good you weren't? That cannot happen to me.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me how good I am. And if you're going to tell me how good I am, maybe there should be paperwork for me to tell you how good you were. Let's keep it even. Let's keep the playing field level. If you're going to evaluate me, I should be able to evaluate you and tell you what kind of boss you were and exactly why I thought about you for the year or the 6 months or the 3 months. Let it go both ways. But you cannot assert any superiority in any way over me. It's done. It's a done deal.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and I'm also unemployable. So I know what you're going through. I had an experience last night I wanted to share.
Yes, okay. Please.
I met a young lady who approached me and said, you know, I'm from a certain country and I want to become a top class escort, and I heard about you and I've always wanted to talk about you, but I heard that you employ, but you I heard that you work with 14 and 15 year old girls and that you beat them every day.
Oh my
God. What? Now this society is, I'm outspoken. I come out and say exactly what I do. Everybody knows who I am. But to think that this is the kind of gossip that's being thrown out there, and when I dug a little deeper, I found out that it came from a man who was interested in her personally. So he said that to get her uninterested in me, to be involved with me because of his personal situation.
So
this is my first official complaint to Naked Departure.
So what is his name? This is how Naked Departure works.
No, I never But the thought that, you know, that's something, because someone could start a rumor like that just because he's trying to get into the bed of that young lady, and that could then ripple on, and next thing you'll be getting reports on Naked Departure complaints about me for that.
Wow. last show, I didn't tell you, but last show, someone sent in a blog. I don't remember if I put it up, but no, it was a comment. It's probably, it's a comment. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see it?
I don't know. What is it about?
I don't remember. So many things come in, but there was a comment that came in after the show, under the show, because the show was put up on nakeddeparture.com. And someone wrote a comment, and, you know, it was like drugs, and because, you know, I think they were going back to when you said that you didn't know Chris was into drugs, or you didn't deal with him on that particular, you know, on that particular scene. And they were saying this and that, and should have been you lying and blah, blah, blah. You know, you could imagine what they were saying, but.
But that is a fact. I've never engaged in any conversation. I heard the rumors, and I deliberately did not engage in that conversation. There was no need for me to engage in that. I'm not involved in drugs. Mm-hmm. I don't take drugs. So I didn't have to talk about drugs with Chris.
Wow.
I'd heard that he's already been cremated, and, you know, the farewell has been said. I'm sorry that I was not able to attend. It must have been a private family.
You mean you're sorry that you weren't invited, you mean?
I'm sorry, yes. I was not invited. Yes. Oh. I would have loved to say my farewell, my friend.
Oh, okay. But you could still say your farewell. He's out there in the ether now.
Yeah, I've already done that. I've already done that. So, but, so it's, the high season is coming, and I expect to get extremely busy for the season. I am planning to expand to other Caribbean islands in a major way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been represented at the Venus show in Berlin, Germany. This is one of the largest erotic and adult entertainment expos in Europe. And I was represented by my European agent, and the response was quite good. So I'm looking forward to bigger and better things in the future.
I saw it came across my stream the other day that there's a university for women who want to be escorts, and it was teaching. It's actually a real university.
Yes,
teaching,
I heard about that.
So teaching them how to be good service providers.
Yes, I heard about that, and I actually want to have an interview with the person behind that. Now that you've mentioned it, I definitely want to get her on my show when I start back again.
Is a female? Is a female?
I think it's a female. Yes, I heard it's a female.
Okay, well,
I understand that there's been a very a massive response to that.
Yeah, that's what they said.
I remember 10, 15 years ago, there was a study done on the number of prostitutes and escorts and sex workers in London, and they had estimated 15 years ago that there were over 300,000 sex workers in London alone.
Just multiply the numbers by 100, please. Come on now. Just multiply the numbers. We know that the day the husband comes home and says, I got paid, but I'm not giving this house no money, all hell is going to break loose. We know that. You call them a husband, you call them a pimp, you call them a John, you could call them anything. So let's call it a husband. If the husband comes home and says, yes, dear wife, I did get paid, but I don't think I want to give any money for the next couple of months. You know, I got things to do. All hell loose. So let's call it what it is. Money rules. And if you're doing something for money, what do you call yourself? What are you going to call yourself if you're doing it for money?
Well, you know, I've given up on justifying my society and explaining these things. But, you know, I'm in a live and let live zone right now.
Yeah.
And I hope they do the same, you know. Okay, fantastic. Well, it's now 10:30. So what else are we going
to
talk about?
I don't know. Talk to me, Charlie. Many things may have happened to you during the week that you want to talk to us about. What do you want to tell us?
I had a discussion this morning with someone who wanted to know what are my ambitions going forward in the industry.
Thank you for joining us on Blog Talk. We are continuing streaming on our other formats, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I would assist sex workers who are infected with HIV virus.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the link. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Winds by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.